Good morning, friends. Before we dive into our passage, let us commit our time to prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning with gratitude in our hearts. Lord, we are so grateful that we can gather together this morning to worship you and to give glory to you. And Lord, we ask that would you please open our hearts and help us to be able to hear your word, to understand it, and also that, Lord, we will be doers of your word. And we also pray that, Lord, would you help me to be able to speak with clarity, to exhort you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
During the month of December every year, most people will be counting days, looking forward to Christmas Day. Some would even save a lot of money such that they would spend it on Christmas Day. This day is regarded by many people as the day where you should be happy, you just need to relax and enjoy. It is also considered as a family reunion, in which there is nothing wrong in that, because that is the time where most people will be off from work. But do we really know what Christmas means? Do you even know why we celebrate it? I know. To most people, it is a day where you give and receive gifts. I'm sure you agree with me that to some, it is a day where you should do crazy stuff. So Christmas is the day where we remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day when he took on humanity and came into this world through the virgin birth. Most people are not amazed, nor do they see God's greatness or his glory in the circumstances surrounding Christ's birth. Because if we do, we will never cease to be amazed at God's greatness. We will behold Christ more, love him more, and wanting to live only for him. So Matthew records for us the glorious truth of the extraordinary birth of an extraordinary son. And you should believe in him in order to be made right with God, for he is the promised king. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read from verses 18 up to 25. And please follow with me as I read. Starting from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So I have divided this text into four sections. So let's look at the first point, the virgin conceives, which we see in verse 18. Let us look together at verse 18. Matthew has put it clear that this is how the birth of Jesus came about, after showing us that this is the rightful heir to the throne of David, the one promised. We can see that in verses 1 to 17 of chapter 1. And he began by saying, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. He is showing that actually this is the king, the one promised by God through the prophets, and he is a different king. His birth is different from all of us. His birth is extraordinary. But how is it extraordinary? So when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, that means she was engaged in our today's language and culture. This word betrothed simply means legally pledged to be married. With the Jewish culture, this process would take like 12 months, though they are already husband and wife, but they are not allowed to have physical relationship at this time. The woman would stay at her parents' place until she is brought to her husband after a big celebration. That's the picture that is given here, is to show us that Joseph is not involved in this pregnancy. That is why the text clearly tells us that before they had physical relationship, Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Matthew is careful to tell us because he wants us to see that this was a miracle. It is something we cannot understand with our human mind. For how can a virgin be pregnant without a man? Well, this is a great miracle that has ever happened and will never happen in our human history. This puts on display God's infinite wisdom, greatness, and his faithfulness to his promises, which we see in Genesis 3:15 and also in Genesis 12:3. For there is nothing too wonderful for the Lord to do. In our own eyes, it's not possible. And that is why we have so many people denying this truth and alluding Jesus to have come naturally from Mary and Joseph. But because it seems impossible to us, doesn't mean it's not possible to God. The text clearly tells us that the child is not from Joseph. We can also see this in chapter 1, verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph and the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. This verse describes Joseph not as the father of Jesus, but it says the husband of Mary. So to deny this glorious truth is to say God's word is not trustworthy. To say Jesus came naturally from Mary and Joseph is denying God's word. It is actually denying that he is God and is able to save us from our sins. The child that Mary is carrying is not from man, but God. This child is divine. We are told in the text, Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. How it happened, we don't know. But what we know is that the Holy Spirit was the agent of this conception. This child is extraordinary. He did not inherit sinful nature as we are, for he did not come from man. We know that we are sinners by nature because of the first man's trespass. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 18, we are told, therefore, as one's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. This child is sinless because he is God himself taking on human flesh. John put it this way in chapter 1, verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, he said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, how the Word became flesh is through this miraculous conception, a virgin conceiving without a man. We are all familiar with this passage, and we know these facts. But have you ever thought and pondered about the greatness of the Lord, his love, mercy, and grace as you read this text? God becoming man so that you and me might have the forgiveness of sins. Do these facts change your affection towards God, or is it just a head knowledge? Most people throughout the history deny the virgin birth. They say it's an impossible thing to happen. This cannot be. Jesus must have been born from Mary and Joseph. And one of the groups that deny this is called Ebionism, which was a radical Jewish Christians who lived during the apostolic period. They believed that Jesus was only a human being and not divine, and that he was naturally born from Mary and Joseph. Even today, most people deny the virgin birth. They reject the gospel, saying, is just an ordinary man. Why should I follow him? I'm sure you have experienced it yourself where people are not interested in listening to the gospel. Others ignore this virgin birth completely. There is an American pastor of a mega church who said, let me quote, "If somebody can predict their own death and resurrection, I am not at all that concerned about how they got into the world." He also added, saying, "Christianity doesn't hinge on the truth or even the stories around the birth of Jesus. It hinges on the resurrection of Jesus." How can you ignore or how can you not believe the virgin birth, which is the central truth of our Christian theology? And if you are one of the people today who doesn't believe this, what you are saying is the Bible is not reliable. It is not true. I don't need a savior. Jesus' ministry here on earth is just a made-up story. That's what you're saying if you deny this virgin birth. Our second point, the virgin's dilemma. We see it from verse 19. Mary already was Joseph's wife, though they had no intimate relationship during this betrothal time. That means if one of them is unfaithful, he or she would be said to have committed adultery, and the penalty for it was death. Now, that Mary is pregnant, what should they do? Will she be put to death? This news, I think, came to Joseph as a shock. In his mind, he could only conclude that she has committed adultery. In the book of Deuteronomy, let us turn there. We want to see that it was punishable by death. Deuteronomy 22. We'll read from verse 25 to verse 29. Deuteronomy 22, verses 25 to 29. It reads, "But if in the open country a man meets a young woman who is betrothed, and the man seizes her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. She has committed no offense punishable by death. For this case is like that of a man attacking and murdering his neighbor, because he meets her in the open country. And though the betrothed young woman cried for help, there was no one to rescue her. If a man meets a virgin who is not betrothed and seizes her and lies with her, and they are found, then the man who lay with her shall give to the father of the young woman 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has violated her. He may not divorce her all his days." So we see here that if you have engaged and then you commit adultery, you will be killed. So here Mary is pregnant, and no one knows what happens. Will she be killed? So could Joseph really take this to court so that Mary could die? Well, let's look at the text. "And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." It's quite interesting now, the situation that Mary's in. We are not told of how Joseph came to know about this, whether Mary told her. If yes, did she explain to him how it happened? Could Joseph have listened to the story? We don't know. And because it's not included, that means it's not important. Though this was not a surprise at all to Mary, she knew exactly about the pregnancy before it happened. For the angel Gabriel was sent to announce this news to her, and she believed the Lord. It is recorded in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, 26 to 28. But Joseph at this time doesn't know at all. Now, Mary's problem is at its peak point. Her husband Joseph is planning to divorce her secretly. It's interesting also that we are told of Joseph's character here. He was a just man. That means he knew the Lord, he was walking with the Lord, and he wanted to do the right thing to divorce. I'm sure Joseph loved Mary so dearly, and because of being merciful, that could be the reason why he was unwilling to put her to open shame. Because if he does, his dear wife would be put to death. So then Joseph, and because he does have the right to divorce his wife, as it was the law given to them through Moses in Deuteronomy 24 verse 1, he was going to divorce her. That was the only option. Third, the virgin's dilemma resolved. We see it in verse 20. You know, God is sovereign, and he does work all things according to his own will and his own time. God is never too late in working out his plan. His timing is perfect because he is the creator of all things and the one who holds time and his totality by his power. Mary right now is in a position of being rejected, divorced, but God intervened. Look at me in verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph was still thinking of divorcing Mary, and the angel at the right time came to him to announce the good news of this child that Mary is carrying. The writer began by saying, behold, look, pay attention. And we are given details of what the angel said. Joseph, son of David. That introduction alone does point out to something. In verse 16, we are told that Joseph was the son of Jacob, but the angel instead referred him as the son of David, who is the great-grandfather. With my own words, I was not going to explain it quite well, so I quote from one of the commentators, and he said, the name of David was calculated to awaken the memories of God's promises and help to prepare Joseph to receive wonderful news that the Messiah was about to be born, for Messiah was the promised heir of David. Let me repeat that again. The name of David was calculated to awaken the memories of God's promises and helped to prepare Joseph to receive the wonderful news that the Messiah was about to be born, for Messiah was the promised heir of David. So the angel said, do not fear to take Mary your wife. And this is because Joseph was wrestling in his mind what to do and was thinking of divorcing Mary. But this is a turning point. Joseph is to take his wife because this pregnancy is not because Mary, his wife, had committed adultery. No. But God has chosen her to accomplish his purpose and fulfill his promise of the coming king, the righteous king. And the angel made it clear to him that the child that Mary, your wife, is carrying is from the Holy Spirit. And this is the reason you don't have to fear to take her as your wife. This then brings us to our next point, the identity of the virgin's son. The angel told Joseph that this child is from the Holy Spirit, implying that he is divine, at the same time, man. That's 100% God, 100% man. But because we are unable to explain this, we can only give it names. They called it the hypostatic union, where they acknowledged in AD 451 at the Council of Chalcedon that Jesus is without separation, without confusion, without division, and without change. This is an extraordinary son, one person, two natures, which are never mixed. What a wonderful promise Joseph is hearing, God becoming man. The angel then goes on to say, she, that is your wife Mary, will bear a son. It's interesting to note that the text did not say, Mary will bear you, that is Joseph, a son. But it is saying, she will bear a son. You, Joseph, are going to take responsibility to this son. You shall call his name Jesus. You are going to be his legal father. And this name Jesus, that means the Lord saves, you shall give it to him. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Saved from sins. Do we need saving? You might ask. Yes, we are sinners by nature, and we do not seek God, as we are told in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, and also in verse 23. All of us are sinners, and we will drink the cup of God's wrath because we have rebelled against him. But this son to be born will save us from our sins. You know, a lot of people, when you tell them that you need a savior because you are a sinner, the first thing that would come in their minds is comparison. They compare what bad things they are doing and what others are doing, and they say, but I'm better than these people. So I don't need a savior. I don't need saving. They also define sin their own way. They see sin as only killing or committing those big crimes, but actually, sin is not loving God. Maybe you are here and you don't see yourself needing to be saved. Let me tell you, you are going to drink the cup of God's wrath because God hates sin. You need to repent and turn to Christ because it is only him who saves. Let me put it this way so that you might see that you need a savior. There was a man who was living happily with a well-paid job, a nice flat. This man did not see the sense of Christianity, so to him it was like a waste of time. One day, he was off from work, so he decided to spend the rest of the day watching movies. Then the building that he was living in caught fire. The fire started on the ground floor, and his flat was on the third floor. He could smell the smoke, but did not pay attention, only to realize later that the building was on fire. It was too late for him. There was no way out. He looked through the window, and it was not possible for him to jump, and people were just watching, unable to rescue. Then from the crowd came a man who called out, "Do you trust me? Jump and I will catch you. I will save you. Just trust me and jump." This man said to himself, "No ways. Who does he think he is? I can save myself. I'll come up with a plan, I know." This man died because he was trusting in himself. He did not see that he needed help. This is the same thing with some of you. You don't see the need of a savior, and you will certainly perish. But here is the good news. The child to be born will save his people from their sins. If you don't know Christ, I urge you to repent and turn to Christ. The child to be born is the Savior. He is God. He is the promised King, as Matthew is pointing out to us. But there is more to that. In verse 22, Matthew points out that this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. In other words, he's saying, "Reader, know this. The virgin birth was promised long time ago. God has proven himself that he is God, what he say he will do. His words has been fulfilled." And what was the promise? "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This was the promise that was made through Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, to comfort King Ahaz, who was very scared after hearing that Syria and Israel, that is the northern kingdom, have joined forces and are coming against Judah. The Lord, through Isaiah, said to King Ahaz, "Do not fear these two smoldering stumps of firebrand, for their plans are not going to stand, and it shall not come to pass. Ask a sign from the Lord." But King Ahaz said, "I will not put the Lord to test." Then God said, "I will give you the sign anyways." And the sign was this promise of the virgin birth. Emmanuel, God with us. What a beautiful promise. God with us. And indeed, Christ, being 100% man and 100% God, walked here on earth. He was with us, and he is with us now, and he will forever be with us. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Emmanuel, God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not, until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph believed all that the Lord told him, and he obeyed the command. Friends, as we celebrate Christmas today, let us remember that this son is not just a baby in a manger. He is extraordinary. God, the Savior, the righteous King, he is with us, Emmanuel. This should comfort you that God is with us despite all these difficulties that we are in, the injustice of the world. And if you have not put your faith in him, I urge you to repent from your sins and trust Jesus, because he is the Savior who saves us from our sins, from God's wrath. Matthew has showed us that the birth of Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise. And with all the promises that God has made in his words, we know that certainly it will be fulfilled. And now that we are told that Christ is coming back, we have to live knowing that he is coming to take us to be with him. Let us commit our time to prayer. Lord, we do want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that you are always with us and that we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous King, and we know that he is coming back to take his people to be with him. And Lord, we pray that would you help us to live our lives bearing in mind that we are living for Christ and that he is coming to take us to be with him. And we pray that would you please help us to be bold to preach this good news, to share this good news with other people, such that they would know that they too will be saved from their sins. And Lord, we pray that would you please help us to live out your words, such that through our life, the world will be able to see your beauty and your glory. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.